is the Day Zero update for April 8th, 2018. I'm Filippo Nolfo.
I'm Brandon Parkin.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
Yep, just a skeleton crew today, because, people have stuff to do. That's just kind of how that works sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
This week we got, basically it's announced all the things week.
Pretty much screw your August and September.
Yeah.
Hope you didn't have any plans, because they just went
out the window. Yep. So did all of your money that you will be earning on your job, apparently. So
yeah.
So this show is going to be a little heavy on announcements and maybe a little light on actual discussion topics, but we'll muddle through and we'll see what comes of it. So, so getting started with that, have been playing Titan Quest. Kill mythical creatures, get loot. Yeah, you know how that goes. So, yeah, I'm pretty much at the point where I can write the review now, so I'm going to be doing that this coming week. So, expect that. For the price that it's selling on the PS4, if that's the only platform that you can play it on, sure, play it on there. Otherwise, probably better off to get the Anniversary Edition with Ragnarok on the PC, because that's still probably the best way to play it. So, still pretty good. And that's kind of been my gaming for me, because I've been doing that and, the World Warrior stuff since we did launch this week. So, Pat isn't here today, so I'll let him discuss the highs and lows of the site when he gets back next week. But, so that's been it for me. But how about you, Brandon?
My gaming pretty much since I'm finished with Zelda has pretty much been Ni No Kuni 2. This, of course, is the sequel to Ni No Kuni Wrath of the White Witch, which was, again, collaboration between Level 5 and Studio Ghibli. Once again, it's the same here. The difference being that there are no anime cutscenes in this one. It's all engine-based. So, I mean, it still looks amazing. Incredibly crisp. Just not 2D animation anymore.
Is it doing kind of the same thing that Dragon Ball FighterZ and Guilty Gear do, that same kind of animation?
No, the animation is a lot more smooth.
Hmm.
It's not like how Guilty Gear does it, where it's like it has like that anime feel, because it's sort of, I don't want to call it limited animation, but
well, actually,
you know what I mean?
It literally is limited animation.
Yeah, it actually is, like, really smooth here.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, it takes place, of course, in the same universe, just hundreds of years afterwards. You're basically playing you have sort of two protagonists, but one sort of ends up getting sidelined for the other. You first start off playing as a person from our world. I'm not going to spoil who they are, just to let you know that the game starts off with one hell of a bang. So he ends up there, and he ends up getting himself into the service of Evan, who is who on the day that he ends up in this particular world, Evan is supposed to be crowned king of Ding Dong Dell, which is the kingdom that is like the big, you know, if you played the first, Ni No Kuni, Ding Dong Dell, you'll know that's the big hub kingdom that's sort of like the biggest of all of them.
Right.
And by the time your character shows up, they've sort of gotten into a point where they're sort of all at war with each other over different reasons. Yeah. Unfortunately, in this one, in Ding Dong Dell, which is primarily made up of humans, Grimaldians, that's cat people, and mouse people, or the mousekins, your King Evan, Prince Evan, who was supposed to be King Evan, has basically just been the victim of a coup. So he is now basically exiled from his kingdom along with you, the person you're playing as. Eventually you come across some air pirates in a canyon, and the leader of the air pirates and his daughter sort of join up with your party. And so eventually what happens is, as the story goes on, you end up founding a brand new kingdom out in the middle of the plains called Evermore. And a good chunk of the game is basically you, on top of doing like the normal majority stuff, which is, you know, the action RPGing, you know, going and doing quests and stuff like that. You basically have a nation building thing that you're doing at the same time, so that your kingdom, you can build new facilities and use it to like get better equipment and build up your forces, your influence, get like money and stuff flowing into the kingdom, upgrading the castle and everything. It starts off kind of nomadic looking, and by the end of the game, it's supposed to look like big and sprawling. I'll be honest, you can lose yourself in that nation building part of the game very easily if you're not careful. So as far as like the actual gameplay is concerned, outside of that, it, you know, battle wise, it's instead of like it, for those who played the original Ni No Kuni, it was sort of like a combination of like Pokemon and Shin Megami Tensei, you know, where you get like a, you know, where you can get various creatures and have them fight for you, right. You know, that kind of thing. That's actually gone in this game. Instead, it's just regular, like, action RPG type combat, with the exception that you have these little creatures called Higglies that are sort of like little fairy spirits that basically they're like little elemental spirits that represent various, you know, elements, and they all come from different elements. And as you go around, you collect these guys, and what happens is that you use them when they're on the battlefield. If enough of them get into a group, you can actually command them to help you in various ways. So like they can heal you, give you, you know, they can heal your health points, or they can like, you know, materialize a cannon or something to help you, or in some cases explosions or an anti-fire barrier, stuff like that. And that's sort of like the standard combat. But on top of that, there's also the skirmish combat, which is when you end up leading an army into battle, and it's sort of like you're basically got four different types of forces under your command that surround you, and you have to go up, and basically it's the standard, you know, leading your army into combat, and then them going up against the enemy, you know, enemy platoons, and basically beating the crap out of them.
That's pretty much. There's a lot more to that game than I initially thought there was going to be.
Yeah, there is. I am, you know, the kingdom building part was kind of a late comer. It doesn't show up until like chapter 4, but it's surprisingly elaborate. And the thing is, because all of these facilities, you need people to, you know, actually come to your kingdom and operate it. One of the big things you do in the game as far as subquests is concerned is doing subquests for people, or side quests, so that they'll become a citizen of your new kingdom and they'll end up operating these facilities for you. So there's actually something to encourage you, you know, finishing these side quests outside of just regular completion.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much Ni No Kuni too. So, Chris, what about you?
Okay, so I jumped back into Sea of Thieves after kind of taking a break from it after they had service issues that first week. So I found out a few things, like if you're in the middle of a voyage and you quit out, that voyage disappears, which is not great. I had to start a new one. I was on a new island as well, so all sorts of weird things, they reset when you quit out. So I started a new voyage, went out, did it, killed a couple skeletons, went to take it back. I noticed one of the big ships that, like, a full crew has. and they were attacking another ship. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go get to the outpost and cash this thing in quick.
Mm-hmm.
Except when I got to the outpost, there they were. Proximity voice chat going on, so they were just yelling at me. So I went and grabbed my chest, tried to run in, cash in quick, but they ended up killing me. So that was great. They took it, cashed in themselves. I know that because I got an achievement. So yeah, that wasn't fun. First attempt to do a quest and get bullied out of it.
Yeah, except, you know, thematically, though, it fits because it is a game about piracy.
Yeah, though now those people don't have much to do, so they're just griefing other people.
Yeah.
There's not that much content in the game, I guess. And the worst part is, so when you die, you go to this, like, spirit boat, pirate ship, I guess, and wait for them to, like, respawn you. And that's, like, 30 seconds or so. Loading into it's like another 20 seconds. Loading out when it finally lets you back in, it's like another 20 or 30 seconds. I found my ship heading towards rocks because they had commandeered my ship and decided to put me in a bad place. And so I was like trying to steer out of it, realized the futility, saw one of the guys was still on the ship who just came up and killed me. And sunk the ship. I got another achievement because I put the anchor down while the wheel was completely turned around and wanted the I think left I was trying to go. That's a weird achievement, but I got that as well. And so my ship was scuttled.
Lovely.
Proceed to go back through the loading and all that to respawn. I respawned in the middle of the ocean. A mermaid, or I think it was a merman, was there to respawn the ship. So I did that, which again goes back into loading again as it puts you somewhere else. I was on a different outpost island. I think one of the ones I saw in one of the betas. It's like, all right, I got a chance to actually do a quest for real this time, I guess. Picked up a new one, started it. All right, set an island to the south. I go there and cannon fire. There are apparently, like, cannons up on this one part, and people are just up there camping, waiting for somebody to come by and start shooting at them. So my objective to dig up this chest is on the other side. So I go just speed past them, so they missed mostly. But yeah, there were some more on the other side. So I try to see if I can slow down and park it somewhere so they couldn't get it, but that's real hard to do. They end up getting some hits in, it sinks, and then I'm just like, oh, fuck this. I just quit out. Because it's just not fun at all.
Yeah, it's starting to sound like that game's got...
griefer issues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see they have some updates in the works. I don't think they're going to address my problem specifically. It involves if you are trying to do a crew with less than four people, it just auto-matches somebody else into there.
Yeah.
Which is not great, which ends up a lot of people that are solo joining in to the matchmaking stuff getting just put into the brig right away. By the others, and yeah, that's not great. So I think they're going to be doing private crews, so you can just have like an invite only thing if you have less than four.
Yeah,
which will help with that. Though I think for my sort of issue, it would be nice if they had a way to just get matchmade into servers of other solo players.
Yeah,
so I think that will be where you get less conflict.
Yeah, because it'll just be a bunch of people just doing their own thing.
Yeah, and if they decide to start shit, it's one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's less likely to have issues, which is, you know, there's a reason why most MMOs with PvP servers don't force everybody into that.
Yeah.
They have PvE servers as well for the people that don't, that just want to do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that game has definitely has some issues to work out as they try to evolve the game now it's out.
Yeah.
And everybody's showing all the cracks in that foundation.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what they're going to do. For right now, I'm going to keep taking a break from that game.
Just probably mm-hmm.
There's
a safe idea.
No point in bothering if it's just going to be, I just ran into more people just going to kill me. Yeah. No real point. You can't do any progress.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't spend $60 on it.
That's good. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I just have Game Pass, so that's just a thing I'm not playing on there. So. Yeah. I'm still playing more A Hat in Time, the really nice 3D platformer on PS4, Xbox One, and PC, I think.
Yep.
Might also be on Switch, I'm not sure. I've beaten all of the missions on the Mafia Town level that I can. I think I need an ability for the last one. And I also got all the rifts that are in there, so as you sort of play more of it, they open up these rifts, which are sort of special challenge levels. Usually involving you sort of collecting these special orbs that you need to get to the next part of the level. Most of them are kind of made up of assets from the level it's based on, and they just put them in different configurations and such, but... I had a couple that were actually on like ice blocks that were not in that level, so that was nice to see. But also not great when you do that like stomach dive move and you just keep going real fast. You don't slow down like you normally do. I lost one quarter of health off of that because I just kept going and I couldn't recover in time. But yeah, I got to the second level. I opened that up. I actually opened up the third as well. And the second one is set on what they call like Bird Studio. It's like a movie studio with these bird people. They're making like movies. One of them is an owl. I think he's called the Conductor, and he makes a lot of like Western movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he's conflicting with a guy named DJ. I forget what his last name was. He's a penguin. Dude who speaks kind of, I don't know, I would say kind of like a disco guy. 70s. Not, yeah, 70s, not really white disco guy, like more of a black disco guy. It's a little bit deeper voice and all that. And so they both want to win the best movie award in the Bird Movie Awards. And so by the end of this first level, the mission I did, I was setting up to work with both of them, I guess, to screw the other one over. So I don't know how that's going to go, but yeah, it's going pretty well so far. The weird thing about that, it seems like this whole section of levels is it's kind of stealth mission stuff.
Mm.
So you see actual vision cones on them.
Yeah.
And the only real issue is I don't know what everything with the vision cone is.
Yeah.
So many times I run into, oh, there are movie cameras. Those are vision cones that can catch you. So I've died, not really died, but lost health on a couple occasions where I just didn't realize those things were actively searching for me. But other than that, it's been pretty good. I unlocked a new hat, which is an ice hat that basically does a ground pound, which in the Mafia Town is a good way of getting around. Because they will flip you up to the top part of the island, which is nice. Nice way to get around. That's a lot faster than just doing all the platforming, because that level's pretty big. So the shortcut's pretty nice to have. Yeah, I'm looking forward to putting some more time into that. And also play Terra, which is the MMO that used to be on the PC. Is now on the PS4 and Xbox One. It's free to play. I think it's a Korean MMO.
Not even heard of this one.
Yeah, it's very much more action oriented. Yeah, let me see. Yeah, it's developed by Bluehole Studio.
Oh. Yeah, one of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a surprise to see. I think here it's published by En Masse. What do they do? ZMR. Yeah, not really much in the way of big names. This is probably their biggest thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of typical fantasy stuff. You can make a bunch of a variety of classes and races. There's a like a dog race. I want to say there's another animal race. I forget what it is.
Hmm.
But probably the biggest thing you might recognize this game from is that all the armor is terrible, like sexy anime Japanese
yeah.
armor sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
Where it's like if this is actual armor, these people would get killed real easily.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Because it's more about the style than the actual armor.
Yeah.
So yeah, they give you different options, but they're all pretty much bad. so yeah, it's not great.
Mm.
I'm hoping to get some armor that might change it into something decent, but yeah, it's not great. But the action itself is pretty good. They have lock-on stuff, so you can focus your attacks on one enemy, all that sort of stuff. I beat the first dungeon, which I think is where it starts to open up after that. Because you're spending this whole time after these Archon enemies come into play, which are kind of they're kind of like the aliens coming into play, bringing like sci-fi stuff to this fantasy world.
Hmm.
And so I beat the immediate threat. I assume they're going to be all over the place from that now on.
Yeah.
They kidnapped some kid, and the kid's been turned into, I don't know, some sort of like fuel for this, keeping this tree alive. It's kind of the Yggdrasil kind of tree.
Hmm.
The life tree, I think they just call it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so she's now like running it. Can't take her out of the chamber she's in or else the whole tree dies. So, well.
Okay.
Sucks for her. yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. It's like a mindless MMO.
Mm-hmm.
The only real negative I have to say is that it's like 40-some gigs.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's
wow.
a big commitment for a free-to-play game.
How do they monetize?
I think, I don't know. I think that right now they're selling a bunch of like currency and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cosmetics that is probably okay.
Yeah.
Because I think it was definitely like one of those MMOs that when it came out, let's see, it came out 2011 in Korea on PC.
Been out a while.
Yeah, 2012 in the US and Europe. Okay. Yeah, I think it was one of those games that came out. They charged a subscription fee and then jumped off ship as soon as those numbers reached a certain point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Said, all right, it's free to play. Now give us all your money instead. yeah, so it's pretty good. There are a couple more on the PS4 that are free to play. DC Universe. What other ones? There's a couple more, I think.
Yeah, there's a few. There's Neverwinter. There's a whole bunch of free MMOs up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm trying to look what I have on here. Yeah, there's Skyforge. Mm. There's Star Trek Online. There's Trove. That's the weird Minecraft-style MMO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, some of the other big ones are, like, World of Tanks. It's, like, 40-some gigs.
Hmm.
Warframe's, I think, like 20 or 30. War Thunder's huge. Yeah, it's pretty weird. Oh, yeah, the Onigiri on the PS4. That's that weird anime one that's real shitty.
Yeah.
Mm.
It focuses on being anime.
But
yeah. Yeah, like, you can customize your character that you make for the face. Everything else is the same.
Yeah.
Because you got to have the big boobs and all that. Can't change those. But yeah, it's all right. It's a free thing. I'm sure it'll get a huge audience.
Probably not. Okay, so I guess we'll get on to the announcements of the week, because there have been quite a few of them. This first one, we'll just go ahead and get it out of the way because I've been waiting for this one for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, so on the heels of the Crash Bandicoot and Sane trilogy, we're now getting the Spyro Reignited trilogy, 21st of September.
Yeah.
That'll be PS4, Xbox One, initially at least.
We'll yeah.
Probably end up on other things later.
Yeah, it'll be $40.
Yep.
Because the first three games.
Yeah, first three games, remastered, soundtrack will be redone, because, yeah, it was MIDI back then, and now I don't have that, so. Yeah, it looks good. I'm buying it. Yeah,
I've seen the comparisons to parts of the levels from the other, the original games, and it looks real good.
Yeah. If they keep doing these, I will keep on buying them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is by a different developer from the Crash trilogy. This is Toys for Bob, who did the Skylanders games, so they went full circle, making the Skylanders Spyro's Adventure to Skylanders Fuck Spyro to, hey, Spyro Trilogy.
Yeah, let's just make Spyro again. Okay.
Yeah. And so. I guess this is all on the Unreal Engine, so it's even a different engine from the Crash Trilogy.
Yeah, it's a full remake, basically.
Yep. Because that was made on... Crash was made on the Skylanders engine. I guess they just retired it because they're done with Skylanders.
Yep. So, look forward to that in September. I know I'm going to be. I know my mom's going to be as soon as I tell her. So, she loves that game, the Spyro trilogy.
I guess if you have the Crash trilogy, you can hit up, up, down, down, left, right, square at the Crash Bandicoot 3 warped title screen to queue up the trailer in game. Which is pretty neat.
That's
right. Because, of course, they did.
Yeah. You're not going to get a demo in there because that's probably a little bit harder.
Yeah.
To put a Unreal Engine 4 demo into a different engine.
Yeah.
We know from the Master Chief Collection, it's probably best not to mix engines.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got some SNK announcements. We'll just rifle through these pretty quick because, they're announcements. The last of the Season 2 characters for Kingdom Fighters 14 has been announced, and that's Blue Mary, which will make Pat happy because he likes playing her.
Mm-hmm. So
there's that. We also got another character announcement for SNK Heroines, and that's Shermie, who I'm not entirely familiar with, so somebody's going to tell me that one. Although SNK Heroines is going to be a game I don't play because I don't have a Switch, so yeah.
It's going to be on PS4 as well.
Yeah.
It says here September 7th on North America, Europe on PS4 and Switch.
I didn't know about the PS4 version, so now I may have to start.
Add that to the September list.
Yeah. Then there's the SNK 40th Anniversary Collection, which will be coming out for Switch. I really hope this one also goes multi-platform because I want this like a lot.
So what do we get? Let's see here. It says it's got a lineups here of games that are going to be included. So we got Alpha Mission, Athena, Crystalis, Ikari Warriors, Ikari 3, Guerrilla War, POW, Prehistoric Island 1930. Psycho Soldier, Street Smart, TNK3, Vanguard, Victory Road, and more games to be announced.
Yeah. And what's particularly interesting is that a lot of these games have both their arcade and home versions. So, that's a cheap way of bumping up the game count, I suppose. But
weren't those kind of mostly the same anyway?
Not really.
Okay, I thought a lot of the SNK stuff on Neo Geo were kind of very similar.
And,
A lot of these are pre-Neo Geo.
Okay.
Yeah, most of these would be Famicom versions. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So these are a lot of games that they bring out every time they do collections.
Yep. And I'm still okay with it. I mean, I'm not seeing actually any Neo Geo titles in there right now.
Okay.
So
I guess those must be just sticking to arcade archives.
Yeah. Mm.
Which, hey, there's more money for SNK.
Yep.
So all of the SNK.
Yep.
Yep.
Still 50, if they decide to go whole hog and go like, you know, 50, 60 games and charge 50, 60 bucks, well, no, I'd be okay with that still too.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says they got a $65 limited edition copy of the game.
Ooh.
With the Nostalgia Music mm-hmm. Collection, an Art Collection hardcover book, and Collector's Box, which is up for pre-order now on the NISA store.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Maybe by September I'll have a Switch. I don't know. But, hopefully it'll also be announced for PS4 because yeah, it would make sense that they would bring it there too. But who knows?
Mm-hmm.
In more games that are going to be taking your money in September, September 7th is when we get the PS4 Spider-Man. Holy yep. crap, does that still look good?
From Insomniac. So. Yep. Not just any old tie-in, it's freaking Insomniac.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and seems like they got a lot of stuff working with this stuff. They got Digital Deluxe Edition that includes their version of the Season Pass.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned like a few chapters. Yeah, 3 post-launch story chapters plus new missions, suits, and characters. You also get a physical pin. This is the digital version, so you can get that with it. They got special suits, and spider drone gadgets, and avatar and theme, and some extra skill points.
Yeah.
Which I guess they revealed the first costume for the pre-order bonuses, which is a Punk Spidey. Which was in one, I forget which comic it was, I saw it. But it's some weird like punk version of him. He's got like the spiked mohawk.
Yeah.
Leather jacket with the ripped sleeves off of it.
Yeah.
Looks real weird, but hey, that's kind of what you want.
Yeah.
That's $80 for that. They have an actual special edition for $150.
Mm.
That includes all that digital content I just mentioned, a steelbook case. Let's see, mini art book from Titan Books. A Spider-Man statue by Gentle Giant. And I think that's the bulk of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't, unless you really want that statue, that doesn't seem like a great value.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it'll probably end up in one of Ashton's videos at some point, so there is that. So, yeah, Insomniac Spider-Man, definitely looking forward to that. That's a case of a game that actually starts looking better and better the further along it gets. So,
yeah,
I cannot wait to play that one.
Yeah, that's on the Game Informer cover this month, so they'll be having more information coming out through the rest of the month.
Yeah. So, stay tabbed for that.
Mm-hmm.
In news that's going to make Brandon very happy, Divinity Original Sin 2 is coming to the PS4.
Stuttery, low-resolution graphics.
Yay, now you can play it as it was intended.
Yeah. That's definitely on my watch list.
Yeah. I think this one's coming out, what did they say, August?
Yeah, I think it's late August.
Yeah, late August.
It's going to have all the content. Local and 4-player online co-op.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And should have all the same sort of tweaks and such that they did for the first game on that made it really fun to play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give it to them. I mean, they do know how to do a proper console port, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like they'll have some additional stuff in it that they'll announce closer to launch.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Divinity is one of those very hardcore RPGs, so it's got a certain audience, and I'm just glad it's being served. So.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird series, because there's been at least like 2 other types of games they've made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One was
The original Divinity games were, they were called Divine Divinity, joke. Yeah. They were basically Diablo clones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they made one that was like kind of like a Skyrim, like Oblivion kind of style of action RPG open world thing.
Yeah.
And they made like a weird strategy game. Then they made Divinity.
Yeah.
And finally found the niche they were looking for.
Yeah.
Took them a while, but they figured it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Next up, let's see here. Yeah, if you've got Toys R Us gift certificates, yeah, they expire in 2 weeks, so you might want to make use of those.
Yep.
Not all five of you.
Yeah, the five of you that may have them. For those that don't know, Toys R Us is going out of business, so yeah.
I heard some aren't actually doing like closeout sales, like in California.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any sort of franchisee thing are there, or just they're just being stubborn.
Yeah.
What else I saw actually like job listings for Toys R Us here, like temporary jobs. Like, fuck, we need people here.
Yeah, I need people here to move all the stuff that we're putting on closeout. So
yeah. So that'd be an interesting job to take. This store is going to hell, so you have no real pressure.
Yeah,
but you can't fuck it up.
Yeah, you can't get
pretty
fired.
Much.
It's like, yeah, that store's gonna be out of business in a couple of days. So gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Sometimes
also if you're if you're looking for some prime real estate to start squatting on, just
or maybe
FYI.
Not. That might be some of the problems with Toys R Us. This one here is pretty well hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Used to be in a good place around Circuit City and Best Buy, but they all moved or shut down, and so it was left by itself.
Yeah. So, although if you want a quiet place that nobody will ever come around, it might be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you start up a smaller toy store.
Yeah. Or
we got room to put all our shit.
Yeah.
So I got one that had a Babies R Us attached to it. That's a weird thing. The Babies R Us moved.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing.
Just left the Toys R Us.
You're like the other half of our store, but you disappeared. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, now the other one's shutting down, so now that's all weird.
Yeah. So sad to see that, but that's business.
Anyway. Yeah.
And our final quick bit of news, Sam Fisher, you know him from Splinter Cell. He's going to be showing up in Ghost Recon Wildlands. This is one of those crossovers that makes a lot of sense. So why the hell not?
Yeah, so the weird thing is that Michael Ironside was voicing him in this teaser, which, as you might recall, he was not voicing Sam Fisher in the last game.
Yeah, in the last couple of games, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, but I guess they realized, hey, maybe we want to bring it back. We might need some goodwill. So he brought Michael Ironside back. This is all kind of part of their weird year two content strategy for this game. Sort of like some of their others, The Division has a year two going on, I think. I forget when that ends, but they just announced that as well, which the weird thing is that there's like a season pass for it, despite all the content being free.
Yeah.
You can pay $30 to get everything a week early. Which seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a really great thing to be doing.
Yeah. That's going to have PvE stuff, PvP stuff. I think they just announced a special event's going on right now with a Yeti in Ghost Recon Wildlands, which is weird. But that's kind of some of the cool stuff they've been doing with that in the Predator.
Hmm.
They say... in the teaser, tell him to brush up on his Spanish. He's headed for Bolivia. He says, I got friends in that neighborhood. Call the ghosts.
Yeah.
So I assume that's going to be mean that there's going to be another Splinter Cell game coming and probably announced at
E3. Yeah, probably announced at E3 and maybe be set there as well. So
Yeah.
So could be fun. That's the weird thing about Ubisoft games these days. It's like, apparently Ubisoft is only making one game, just different parts of it.
Yeah, pretty much. they have Ubisoft. One template that they use for everything at this point.
It's the Ubisoft Cinematic Universe.
The Ubiverse.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so. Anyways, let's get into the last few bits that we got today. These ones will probably be a bit more in-depth, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We got a delay. Dragon Quest XI for Switch apparently is being delayed because they need to update the Unreal Engine 4 so that it will actually work with the Switch.
Yeah.
That's apparently the one that they built the game on. It didn't. I'm not entirely sure about the how involved upgrading that engine is when you're going from UE4 to UE4 versions. I can't imagine it'll be that hard, but yeah.
It might also just be adapting it to what the Switch can do.
Yeah, adapting it to what the Switch can do.
Because the version that they're doing now is PC, PS4, which is on a kind of another level in terms of power.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have to bring things down quite a bit.
Yeah.
To work with the Switch. You ask Panic Button, they had fun with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's still kind of weird that they canceled the 3DS version, because that was a really interesting version that had 2D and 3D ways of playing it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So there's actually not been any announcement as to when it will actually be coming. They said, yeah, when it's done, basically.
And they say it's still a long ways out. Which,
yep, long ways out.
That's like maybe 2019.
Yeah, probably safe to bet it would be 2019. At least they didn't delay the PS4 and PC versions for the Switch version. So
mm-hmm.
Those are coming September 4th, I think.
Yep. Yeah. September 4th.
So I'm glad I will have moved by then, because that will mean that I will actually have some money. So
yep. Nerds with the PS4 have a lot of money to spend that week.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, check that out. Another bit of news here. Injustice 2 is getting a completely overhauled tutorial, which, frankly, it needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
And it seems like it's really well done. Puts pretty much most everybody else to shame.
Yeah. So, and has this been released yet, or...? Still coming.
I think it's out.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's the latest revision for the Learn Hub.
Ah.
They teach foundational basics. The updated tutorial swerves into more technical territory. It deals with frame data and combo construction. More importantly, however, is the way it teaches, or the way it frames each lesson, by explaining to new players why this information is crucial without using too much genre jargon. They learn where it can be utilized in actual matches. Hmm. So, like, for example, players learn the three basic parts of every attack: the startup, active, and recovery frames. It's simply the beginning, middle, and end, respectively. During this particular lesson, bright colors overlay the characters on screen, disappearing when each particular attack stage has ended. And while these concepts are still a little dense for beginners, they can walk away with useful information about unsafe moves, reversals, even without having to retain how many frames a random Batman punch is active.
Yeah.
But they also mention in the GIF here, like, this attack has a 12 frame or negative 12 frame advantage on block.
Mm.
And so it's like, that's pretty cool. Instead of just saying, here's moves, do them.
Yeah.
That's what most
they did before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's mostly what Capcom does as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So they do the combo trials and stuff, which don't give you any context. Yeah.
And it's like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
You're just here, you could hit buttons. That's good.
Yeah. This looks like it's actually providing the context as to why you would want to do it and what you know. So, I'm going to have to go back and check this out, because it looks like something that may be very useful. So, that's out. Go check it out.
I assume that'll be a big part of their next game. I assume whatever MK game they're doing next.
Yeah, I wonder if they are doing MK 11? 11. Yeah.
X1.
X1. They have an XL, so that's what, 42?
40?
40, so...
I think L is 50.
Yeah.
I think XL is
10
50.
Minus 50, yeah. So that would be 40. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned that from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's where I learned all my Roman numerals. Because I don't think they do Roman numerals anymore, because they got over 50 and there's nothing else important to do for a while.
Yeah. So, moving on, we got this bit of news, which... should come as no surprise to just about anybody. Monolith, the developers of the Shadow of War games for Warner Brothers, recently announced that they're going to be pulling all of the loot boxes and in-game currency.
Yeah,
well, premium.
Too little, too late.
From Shadow of War.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little too late. And their statement was kind of interesting in saying that, it actually compromised the gameplay.
Yeah,
you don't
no
say.
Kidding.
It's a good thing somebody just finally mentioned it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, like you know, Jim Sterling had been going on about this for at least 6 months now.
Yeah. My guess is they're just trying to cut as much losses as they can from this game, and maybe trying to release a Game of the Year edition at some point.
Remind people that this game exists, because after Battlefront 2 came out, everybody forgot this was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also mentioned that they are going to be doing some considerable changes to the Nemesis system to go along with pulling all of the microtransactions from it.
Yep.
So,
and I guess they're telling people if they have gold they purchase, they should buy their stuff now. If they don't, it just turns into items.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're also changing the end game stuff, that whole grind part of it that everybody hated.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was a big problem.
So what I hear is just a weird, endless part of the game where you're going to just kill yourself because it's a lot more fun than whatever you're doing there.
Yeah, where you have, you're going to lose legendary orcs because they really don't mean anything.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to give back the meaning to all of these, encounters that you're actually going to be going through. It is too little. But, considering that they're trying to pull back and turn it into an actual game, I do have to hand it to them for that. But they shouldn't have gone into that situation to begin with. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers, you know how that is.
Yep.
Yeah,
which makes me wonder how their future games are going to be now that this, the big tent pole for what their future plans for monetization was going to be just failed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my suggestion would be making good games, and that's something that you might want to try at some point. So.
Yeah, maybe when they get this all sorted out, I might pick this game up for like $20.
Yeah,
if it's on sale.
I will. I mean, I picked up the first one for $8, and I'm totally happy with it. So, we'll wait and see how that goes. And Warner Brothers games always go on sale, like. Literally, every single time there's a sale on PSN, there's usually some Warner Brothers games on there. So,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, check that out eventually. And finally, Lawbreakers. Remember that game? Yeah, exactly. The Bosky Productions, the studio headed by Cliff Bleszinski, they made a competitive online multiplayer shooter.
Realized... it might be a good idea to just go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, so they're moving on from Lawbreakers. They're going to support it, fix bugs, but they're going to basically leave it in the state it's in, which, given the fact that they've had very little, uptake on that game the last mm-hmm. few weeks, I think they mentioned in the article here on the that there were, I think, 9 players on the PC in a 24-hour period. I guess that game didn't go so well. Nexon is probably not going to be putting much effort into keeping that one going. I'm not sure what Boss Key is going to be doing. Maybe it's time to start looking at some maybe single-player games. I don't know. Might be something to go back to.
Okay. Yeah, something that, kind of made you famous.
Yeah.
So. That involves something that is of the, I don't want to say real, the opposite of that.
Yeah. Surreal? yeah. Yeah, the problem, I think, is there's just so many of these shooters out on the market right now.
Yeah, they came out at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they kept working on it, at least trying to make the game better for those that were still checking them out, but eventually it's just like, we kind of did everything we could.
Yeah. So, blah. Oh, well. They tried. I gotta give it to them for that, but yeah, it's good for them to know that, this didn't work. Let's do something else. So, that really is the story here. There's just, it's not a monetization failure. It's just nobody was interested.
So, it was a saturated market, basically.
Yep. And I wish Cliff Bleszinski the best, because he's a cool guy. Might be a little bit abrasive at times, but you know, you take the good with the bad, as they say.
He's very sort of mid-2000s gaming.
Yeah. He's, that was the time that he worked at Epic and did the Gears games, and I don't think he's really moved too far from that, so.
No.
Either way. So, let's finish off with our picks of the week, and my pick this week will not cost you a thing, which is good. It's Cloudflare's DNS. If you like your websites to load really fast, and you also like your ISP not spying on you, then check out Cloudflare's DNS. You can set it up on your computer. It's really quick and easy, and it works really well. And the Cloudflare folks, well, they're awesome, so check them out. I did a DNS benchmark on my system last night, Cloudflare was the fastest by a significant margin. So yeah, it's free, it's easy to set up. You should definitely check it out.
All right, I've got something. It's from way back in 2016, but it's definitely worth watching. So basically, Tokotoko TV. It's a channel on YouTube. They do interview with various Japanese media personalities, primarily in the entertainment field and the gaming field and anime and film production. And in this one, they talk to none other than Daisuke Shuatari, a mastermind behind Guilty Gear. Now, anybody who is familiar with the Guilty Gear games, and Daisuke in particular, knows he's sort of is Guilty Gears. I mean, he's got a fairly sizable team that works under him. But the amount of work he actually puts, the number of hats that he wears in the game's production, would make lesser game developers, you know, just crawl under their desks and cry. he is the story writer. He is the character designer, the graphics, the head graphics guy. He's the composer. If you've ever wonder what's the, you know, all the awesome music you hear in a Guilty Gear game, that's Daisuke and his band. Yeah. That you're hearing. He also occasionally does voice acting stuff. Up until fairly recently, he was the voice of Soul Bad Guy. So, he is a man of many talents. And so in this little interview, you'll see him, you know, during his work day, you'll see him working on, you know, some of the character art and illustrations, him inking some pages on his drawing board. You'll see him doing music composition with his guitar. Incidentally, you'll also see him having a conversation with the creator of BlazBlue, Takamasa Mori, or I can't remember the dude's name, and sort of like their different approaches to game design, because, you know, Daisuke, when he approaches game design, he sort of approaches it as an authorial work, you know, with a storytelling vehicle, yeah. You know. Whereas Mori basically approaches BlazBlue, he himself says, it's something you play with, it's a toy. So he's very focused on gameplay, and, you know, anybody who's played BlazBlue knows pretty much every character has a very unique fighting style.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting to see, you know, the way they work and everything. It's just really cool. You'll even see a couple of hints here or there that they may have been working on Dragon Ball FighterZ at this point.
Yeah.
It's really good. You're definitely going to want to watch it. I did not know that he was born in South Africa.
Huh.
Yeah, he's actually Afro-Japanese. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So Chris, what about you?
So there are a couple of good sales on this week. PSN has a Telltale sale with a lot of pretty much everything they've worked on that's on PSN is on sales. It includes like $4 for the Jurassic Park series.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, but if you want to see what's their first attempt at that sort of Heavy Rain style adventure game, that did not work at all. They have Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is on sale for $10.
Mm-hmm.
Get that whole season. The new Batman one is $15. Yep. Which I saw we have a review up for that final episode. Seems to just ended really well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that might be worth checking out. They even have some of their older stuff on the PS3, like Poker Night 2, Puzzle Agent, the Sam & Max games. Those are on sale for pretty cheap. Strong Bad. Strong Bad is a cool game for attractive people, which is still one of the best names for a game I've seen.
Yeah.
That's $3. And also, just take yourself back to a time when internet humor was simple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Simple and mostly inoffensive.
Yeah. Versus about a stupid guy that yells a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got bundles for a bunch of stuff. If you want to do that, The Walking Dead, all the recent seasons leading into season 4, I think starting this fall. And The Wolf Among Us, it's all on sale. Some good prices.
Mm-hmm.
On Nintendo's side, there is a couple of 3DS games that are on sale. Etrian Odyssey 5 is $24. Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse is $25. The Switch has some nice stuff that's on sale. Crimson Land is $9.37. Oxenfree is $5. That's a good one to get. Snake Pass is $10. Harmonix's Super Beat Sports is $12. The new game from Mike Bithell, Subsurface Circular, is $4.79.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird game where you talk to a robot AI.
Cool.
That's on a bus. I think a bus. I guess some sort of public transportation. But yeah, it's kind of like an AI text adventure thing. There's graphics there, but there's a lot of talking to these AIs. That's pretty cool. Let's see. On Epic is $7.49 and Zeo Drifter is $5. Which Zeo Drifter is pretty cool. It's like, hey, we made a Metroid game that's as hard as Mega Man. Which, yeah, that's a game that's real hard. You have
if
to do
you
these.
You really hate yourself.
Yeah. That's a game where I think there's like a couple areas you have to get through, and I think I got through one or two of them.
Hmm.
And I was like, man, fuck. But yeah. That game's pretty good. And Xbox has their own big sale, the spring sale going on. A bunch of stuff is on sale. The unfortunate thing is the way that Microsoft lists sales, it all just says, here's the percent off, no prices.
Yeah, you have to go look.
Yeah, which that's annoying just for browsing stuff. But yeah, they got a bunch of the big stuff as well as indie stuff. Ori's on sale. I assume NBA Live is $4 again. No, it's $7.50. That's weird. $4.50 with Xbox Live Gold. Okay. That's all's good in the world then. Let's see. Yeah, there's Mafia 3 if you need that. Little Nightmares, Life is Strange. There's a lot of good stuff here. Yeah, some good stuff for people to check out if you're on Xbox.
Yeah. It's really, I'm looking through the list here, I'm noticing, like, the ones that seem to have the least discounts are all the Call of Duty ones.
Yeah, that's Activision for you.
Yeah.
It's like, they don't...
Put our games on sale? Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like doing the whole deep discount thing.
No. Although they'll do it with every other game except Call of Duty.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the weird thing. They realize, oh, this one thing makes us money.
Yeah.
Let's put it on sale, but you're still going to buy it either way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I see Full Metal Furies, the new game from the team behind Rogue Legacy, is $15. Yeah, they just talked recently about how that game is a huge failure for them. Which I also saw a lot of people saying they thought it was about furries. So so they were grossed out just from the name. So, yeah, maybe not the best name.
Yeah, even though what was the name again?
Full Metal Furies.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, it's to do with the Greek mythology Furies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but it's like a dual stick shooter co-op game.
Mm.
Yeah, which I can definitely understand why sort of a co-op focused game after they made a really good solo game.
Yeah,
doesn't really bring in their fans. Cuphead's on sale, pretty good price for $16-17.
Yeah. Dark Souls 3 yep. has stupid discount.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. I think they're in a mode of like, yeah, we got this new thing coming out, so please buy our old thing.
Yep.
Dark Souls 3 isn't that old, so.
Nope.
So.
No, that's but, 2 Scholar's Edition.
They're, okay. Yeah, that's definitely going to be on cheap.
Yeah.
The one game that the Dark Souls people tend to hate for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it was, you know, fair. I don't know.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It just makes some changes. Each of these, like, new Dark Souls games, people come into it, like, any change, oh, they're just making it for casuals. It's a baby game. And it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
I got killed by pigs in the opening area of Dark Souls 2.
Yep.
Yeah, there's, like, pigs, like, farm pigs, like, little ones. Yeah. And if you hit them, they come after you.
Those pigs will fuck you up.
Yeah, they will fuck you up because they have really high HP.
Yeah.
For some reason. And yeah.
Ooh, Defense Grid 2, 75% off regular, or for gold, 85% off.
Yeah, that's a good game to get.
Yep. If you want to see how fast your Xbox One can load, great.
This will be some of the longest loading times.
Yep.
Still. It sort of disproves the notion that all that power is going to make every game much better looking or faster loading.
Yeah.
It makes it clear that it's like, no, it's really on a game by game basis.
Yeah.
Some will be kind of the same. Some will be improved. It's really up to the devs and the.
Yeah. Defense Grid 2 is an old ass version of Unity. So yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Weirdly, it runs really well on PC and PS4.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing.
I know. Oh, Diablo 3 Eternal Collection, half off, so that's a good one to get if you have.
Yeah, that's $30, I think.
Yep.
If you don't have any of the Diablo stuff, that's a real good one.
Yep.
I think Torchlight's also on sale. I think for like Xbox 360 stuff.
Yeah, I don't see it here, but anyway.
I think it's just on the Xbox One stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got Borderlands stuff, XCOM, GTA, Max Payne. Yeah, maybe where you get the cheap Call of Duty stuff is on the Xbox 360 stuff.
Yeah, the backwards compatibility stuff.
Yeah. Oh. Black Ops is half off, I think. It says $18. Why are you charging like $35 for that game?
I don't know.
Yeah. So maybe not. Maybe they're still charging weird prices for these games.
Yeah, it's Activision. They'll charge.
Yeah, half off for Modern Warfare 3, $18. Or is it just this old website software that doesn't properly show gold prices?
Could be.
I don't.
Yeah.
They really need to update that site. Just make it all one thing.
Yeah.
Easy to browse, easy to see the different prices and all that.
Yeah. So, definitely a lot of good sales there on the Xbox One, and well, to some degree on the PS4. But if you're looking for Telltale stuff, at least definitely some good stuff there.
Yeah, Torchlight is on sale. How much is it? $524.
All right, weird number.
Yeah. I think it must be the non-gold price.
Yeah.
I think it was like 60% off for non-gold, 70%
for
gold. So yeah, $524 for non-gold, I assume. That's a really good game.
Yeah.
If you want something that's like, hey, here's what a Diablo competitor was before Diablo 3 came out.
Yeah. I'm really bummed that Torchlight 2 never made it out away from the PC.
Yeah, that would have been nice to have, like, early PS4, Xbox One game.
Yeah. And sadly, that studio doesn't exist anymore, so...
Nope. Well.
With that, I think we'll call it a show for this week.
Yep.
Kind of a short show, but whatevs.
This is like E3 prep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyways... remember that you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. You can also check us out at smashpad.com, where you'll see our written content. And this week, some stuff. So with that, I'm Flippo Denofo.
I'm Brian Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
We'll see you next week. on Day Zero update.